Good evening. It's good to see you this evening. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 18, we're going to spend some time this evening looking at the life of Absalom. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that we have an opportunity to spend some time in God's Word as we begin this week. I hope that we, in our songs and prayers and study of Scripture, are learning things in our Bible classes to help us get through this week coming up. And I'm glad to see you. When I think of our scripture reading, there's a generation who curses their father. There's a generation who is self-righteous. They're pure in their own eyes. There's a generation, number three, that is proud. There's a generation that is violent. When I think of that, I think of Absalom. And this evening, I want us to spend some time in a study of God's Word, hopefully learning some lessons that we can be right with God. And we can learn from Bible characters. I guess this evening's lesson is similar to this morning's lesson, that we have spent some time studying Bible characters. Sherry will tell you that when I pray at home for the meal, we often pray for the safety of our children. I just want my children to be safe. And my list for my children is pretty short. I just want them to be a faithful Christian, and I want them to be safe. And I'll pray tomorrow for Carlin's safety on the road. And each day we pray for the safety of our family members. I don't care if they're wealthy, I just want them to be safe. I don't care if they're smarter than the other kids, I just want them to be safe. I don't care if they have power and prestige, I just want them to be safe. I don't care what they look like, I just want them to be safe. And when David was asking for the safety of Absalom, I certainly understand that, because as a parent, that is really one thing that is near and dear to our heart, and that is the safety of our children. And we're going to look at tonight's lesson, a well-known statement where David asks concerning Absalom, is the young man safe? I believe it's a very important question, and I want us to consider it this evening. When you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 18 and you have the statement, is the young man safe? It's at the end of Absalom's life. In fact, he's already been killed. It's at the end, really, of this story of David and Absalom. And there's been several years here where Absalom, the third son of David, has been revolting and fighting against his own father. It really is sad that a son turns on his father. And David knows that he has been warring, his army has been warring with his son and his son's army, and he knows that they've been warring. And when the men come to give David the announcement, he asks, is the young man safe? This is an important question, and I want us to notice the kind of question that we're talking about. We're dealing with the well-being of a young person. The older versions and some of the newer ones say safe. Your version might say, is the young man well? But David wants to know about his well-being. David doesn't say, does he have money? Does he have this? Does he have that? He just wants to know about his well-being. And that's what most parents that I know, that's what they want for their children, their good well-being. And it's a question dealing with the welfare of Absalom. The word here is the Hebrew word that we're familiar with, shalom, which is often pronounced peace. But what's interesting is Absalom, his name means peace. His name means my father is peace. And so essentially David is saying, is this son of mine who's named peace, is he well? Does he have peace in his life? There's a play on words here. Well, we know the story. Absalom is dead. And so the answer is no, it is not well with his life. But I'm here to tell you this evening that his death was not the beginning of his lack of wellness. His life was not well. And so we're going to learn this evening how that we can be safe and well. The answer to this question was no. And let's read, if you will, with me, 2 Samuel 18, beginning in verse 28, the two different messages that David gets from these two different men who run to him. One outran the other, and he's given this message. Absalom is already dead. And Ahimaaz called, verse 28, and said unto the king, "All is well." There's your peace word, shalom. He bowed himself before the king with his face to the earth and said, "Blessed be Jehovah thy God, who hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." And the king said, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant, even me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." And the king said, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. He didn't want to answer the question. It's a hard question to answer. He didn't want to deal with it. And behold, the Cushite came. And the Cushite said, "Tidings for my lord the king, for Jehovah has avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" Or some of the older versions, "Is the young man safe?" Peace, shalom. And the Cushite answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt be as the young man Absalom is." This was a roundabout way of saying, "Your son is dead." And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, would I had died for thee, Absalom, my son, my son." It's a sad ending to a really sad story of a son who revolts against his father. But I will tell you this evening that when you look at this story, Absalom's lack of wellness happened long before this battle. And we're going to turn back in the pages of history and we're going to see what is going on in this man's life. To see how it got to this point. And as parents and as grandparents and as young people here this evening, let's see if there's something here in this lesson that we can apply in our lives to make sure that it is well in our lives. Absalom, who had revolted against his father, he wanted to be king, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. And David even had to flee. It was so bad. This is in fulfillment of Nathan's prophecy in 2 Samuel 12. After David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, Nathan said that there's going to be one of your own family that will rise up against you. And Absalom becomes the fulfillment of that. And if you want to take a look sometime at Psalm 3, Psalm 3 is attributed to David as he is fleeing from Absalom. And it's a short psalm, but David puts his trust in God. And when he speaks of the enemy there in Psalm 3, that's his own son. That's a sad situation. Absalom had put himself in a position by the choices that he had made to where he was not safe at all. He was not well at all. But what we're going to find in the life of this young man is that he had all of the worldly qualities there. If you look at him from a worldly standpoint, you would say, "Boy, this guy is successful." But he was not well with the Lord and with his own father. And we don't need to go by worldly successful standards. We need to go by God's word. So we're going to see this evening that it was not well. Later in the story then, when Absalom's army fought with David's army, the well-known story where he got caught in the tree with his long hair, and Joab and his men killed him. And then when these messengers bring word, David realizes that his son is dead. And he cries, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom." It's a great question. And so the question I ask this evening is the young man safe? Our children, our grandchildren, ourselves. "Oh, I'm fine. I've got money in the bank, and I've got a couple of cars, and I got a house, and I've got these plans, and now I'm good." Well, let's test that this evening. By worldly standards, Absalom was great. He was doing great. But by God's standard, he was not well at all. He was an ungodly man. And so we ask the question this evening, is the young man safe? Number one, are you physically safe? We often pray for the physical safety of our children. We want them to be physically safe. And we believe in God's providence, and so we pray for the physical safety of our family members. But we need to be asking more than that. Is the young man morally safe? Is the young man or the young woman making decisions in life that good and evil and righteousness and unrighteousness based upon the Word of God? "Well, they're smart." Well, that doesn't matter. That's not how you get to heaven. "Well, they're well off," or they're talented, or they're outgoing, or that doesn't matter. That's not what gets you to heaven. Are they morally safe? Are they making moral decisions that are according to God's Word? And are they spiritually safe? Are they a Christian? Are they on the way to heaven? "Well, they've got clothes, and they've got a roof over their head, and they've got this." Well, wait a minute. That's not going to get them to heaven. And so, like we talked about this morning, we've got to ourselves be right with God, but we've got to talk with others around us, especially starting close at home with family. We want them to be safe. There's not a parent here that doesn't want their child safe. But that includes, brethren and friends, not just physical safety, or that they've got food and clothing and shelter and things like that, but they're right with God. We're not going to talk this evening about David's parenting. An argument can be made that some of Absalom's behavior is due to David's lack of parenting, and I'm aware of that. That's another lesson for another time. That's a factor that we could factor in. We know from another son in 1 Kings chapter 1 that David's parenting skills were probably lacking. And that could factor into this possibly as well. I've always wondered why it seemed like David is easygoing on Absalom. But we're going to focus not on David's parenting skills this evening, or lack thereof. We're going to focus on Absalom himself. So turn back with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13, and let's take this journey from 13 to 18 this evening. And let's see what we can learn in order to be safe. Not just physically, but morally and spiritually. We want to be safe. Well, this word has to do with well-being. And well-being is not just about, "Well, my child is not in the hospital." Well-being is everything about them. And if we see something here or something else like this evening, let's make the changes. First of all, is the young man safe? Well, first of all, you'll be safe if you use your great potential and your privileges and your talents and your opportunities for godly pursuits, not selfish pursuits. Absalom was the third son of David, born in Hebron or Hebron in chapter 3. You think about this man's potential. You think about what he could have used his life for good in the kingdom of Israel, being a son of David. And yet he uses it for selfish pursuits. Number one, we'll be safe if we use our talents and our potential and the things that are given to us. We live in a country that gives us so much more potential than people around the world. Our educational system and our monetary system and our healthcare system and other things like that. We've got so much potential going for us. Don't use it for selfish pursuits. Use it for godly pursuits. This man could have been a great force in the kingdom of Israel for good. And yet he squandered it. It's all about me. It's all about me. And my this and my that, and the universe revolves around me. And he was a problem. We'll be safe. But we've got to learn to use the good things that God gives us for godly pursuits. Our speech and our bodies and our minds and our talents. And our young people do have talents. But it's not just for me. It's so that I can be a Christian and serve others. The elderly in the congregation and the lost that are in the world and the other members of the church. My own family members. Sometimes young people, it's about, well, I'm on track to, and I'm going to spend my life doing this, and I've got this plan. Okay, there's nothing wrong with pursuits, but what is your big overall pursuit? It should be godly in nature. But if we find ourselves where it's mostly about us, then we could have a problem on the horizon. We can be safe. But we're going to have to use our great potential for the Lord. For the Lord. What a shame. 2 Samuel 18:17. When Absalom dies, his army and David's army are fighting. We're told in the forest of Ephraim. And they throw him in a pit and throw some stones over him. What a sad situation. The king's son, he doesn't get buried in the city of David. He gets thrown out in the woods somewhere and in a pit. What a terrible end to what could have been a great situation. Turn with me to chapter 13. You can be safe if you keep your anger in check and don't allow it to guide your actions. In chapter 13, the half-brother of Absalom and Tamar. Absalom and Tamar were brother and sister. But they had a half-brother, same father David, but a different mother. The mother of Absalom and Tamar was Maacah. But the mother of Amnon was Ahinoam. So they had the same father, but different mothers. And when Amnon forced himself sexually on Tamar, Tamar's full-blooded brother, Absalom, got mad at that. Absalom spake unto Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. This thing that Amnon had done was against the law of Moses. Leviticus 18 and other passages say that you're not to have sexual relationship with your father's daughter. So it was wrong according to the law of Moses. And there were things put in place to take care of the lawbreaker. But it doesn't come from anger and hatred. And so after 2 years, verse 23, Absalom makes this plan to invite Amnon to come, and he has his servants kill him. Verse 29, and the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. He was mad, and even after 2 years, he was mad. And come down with me to verse 32. And Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have killed all the young men or the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. Look at this in your Bible. For by the appointment of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. 2 years earlier, this is what was on his mind, and he was enraged. And maybe you would be too. But we're not to be guided by anger and hatred. And that gets inside of a person, and it causes them to do things that they shouldn't be doing. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. We can have righteous indignation about sinful things, but often what happens is somebody does something wrong that we don't like and we just stew over that and it gets out of hand. There's all kinds of news stories. It happens here in Clarksville, Nashville, other places. Some guy is mad at somebody else and they take out a gun and this is how we're going to solve this. We can be safe, but we've got to keep our emotions in check. And with regard to things like anger and wrath, we cannot let that drive us and guide our actions. And sit there and stew over it. And regardless of the time that passes, I'm going to make sure this guy dies. I am mad at him. He should have taken it to the elders of the city. He should have followed the law of Moses and followed the steps for putting to death such evildoer, but no, it came from hatred. Let's guard our emotions. Turn with me to chapter 14. After this happened, Absalom fled, verse 37, chapter 13, verse 37. Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amor, king of Geshur. He went to his grandfather in Geshur. His mother was from this area. And we find that he stays there for a while, and then finally he returns. And turn with me to chapter 14, verse 25. Absalom returns, chapter 14, verse 25. Now in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. For from the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head there was no blemish in him. You know, when I was younger that was kind of my case, but boy, we're far past that. Boy, there's blemishes all over the place. And from head to toe, yeah. And when he cut the hair of his head, now it was at every year's end that he cut it because it was heavy on him. I don't have that problem. Therefore he cut it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there was born 3 sons and 1 daughter whose name was Tamar, and she was a woman of fair countenance. So he gave birth to someone who was good looking. He was good looking. So was his daughter. You will be safe if you focus on inward spiritual character, not on outward physical beauty. And today it's so much about, well, how does a person... Look at the commercials. Look at all the commercials. It's how a person looks. You don't see commercials on, we need to be a Christian and right with God. You don't see any commercials like that. There's an emphasis on the outward physical look. And I've got to dress a certain way and buy a certain garment and look this way. And I need to be focusing on inward character. And this man was a good-looking man. When I read that verse, some of you are old enough to remember those old Fabio commercials. The guy with the real long hair, and he would wave his hair like if it was a shampoo commercial or something. Kind of reminds me of that. His inward character was greatly lacking, even though he had this outward beauty to him. And we've forgotten 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. God does not look on the outward appearance of a man. He looks on the heart. And our heart needs to be right with God. And we've forgotten Proverbs 31 at the very end. And maybe those here this evening have not, but out in the world, look at with Proverbs 31 with regard to the woman. In our society, it's always the outward. Proverbs 31:30, grace is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears Jehovah shall be praised. That should be Proverbs 31, verse 30. Beauty is deceitful. It's vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's not about the outward adorning. The focus is supposed to be on the inward character. And as parents, let's push inward character and not outward appearance. There's nothing wrong with looking good. That's not my point. The point is, what's our priority? In like manner, women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness. We're trying to keep our sense of shame, not just show everything and then not be ashamed about it. Cover up, not uncover. Not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly raiment, but that which is becoming women professing godliness through good works. And it's the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn with me there. The inward is what is important. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, 1 Peter 3:3, of braided hair or wearing of jewels or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. There's your inward spiritual character of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner aforetime, the holy women, not just women, but those who are truly holy, set apart, that's how they adorn themselves. We can be safe when we put an emphasis on the inward spiritual character and not on the outward physical beauty. Let's continue going on in 2 Samuel chapter 15. You'll be safe if you show kindness to others and not meanness. This should be chapter 14, verses 28 through 33 on the PowerPoint. Chapter 14. When Absalom got back into Jerusalem, he asked if Joab would come to him. He wanted to talk with him about going to the king, and Joab wouldn't go to him. Verse 30, Absalom said to his servants, "See, Joab's field is near, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire." And Absalom's servants set it on fire. This guy is just a meanie. I want Joab to come talk to me. Joab won't come talk to me. Well, I'll show Joab. I'll burn his field down. Well, you burn a guy's field down, you're going to cause some problems. First of all, they're not going to have something to eat like they would need to eat. And if Joab is using that for a livelihood, you've taken away his livelihood. Absalom was mean. That's why he's not safe. He's mean. And today, meanness is in a lot of people. I'm going to get somebody back through my meanness. I'm just going to be mean to them. That's the wrong kind of character. Show kindness to others. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. And kindness is not just when things are going my way, but even when something doesn't go my way. We have patience, and we don't engage in revenge. Well, I'll show him. I'll burn his field down. And that's how so many people today act. But we'll be safe if when we have to deal with the things of life, even the difficult things and the challenging things and the things that don't go our way, if we'll continue being kind to people. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. And if something is wrong, Romans 12, give place to the vengeance of God. He'll take care of that. But Absalom is about, well, I'm going to be mean. He was not safe. He was not safe. Long before he died, he was not safe. And we're learning this evening how we and our family members can truly be safe in the sight of God and truly have a well-being. Turn with me now to chapter 15, verse 1. This is where the conspiracy begins, and with Absalom back in town, the conspiracy begins for him to revolt and go against his own father. Chapter 15, verse 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him a chariot and horses and 50 men to run before him. Run before me. I'm a great one. Get out there and run in front of me. Notice those little things that are bolstering Absalom's ego and his selfishness, and it's all about him. So he gets these people to run before him, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man had a suit which should come to the king for judgment, he's in the Jerusalem area, and people would be coming there. Then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. That's just not true. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man who has any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came near to do him obeisance, again, stroking his ego, he put forth his hand and took hold of him and kissed him. It reminds me of the modern day politician. I'm your best friend. You come over here. Don't go to King David. Come over here, and I'll just treat you right. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Okay. And that works. I don't know which is worse. The fact that Absalom does that or that it works. People fall for that kind of thing. Read the very next verse. The verse says that all Israel, he stole the hearts of Israel. I'm not sure what's worse. The fact that a man does that kind of thing or that people are so gullible to, okay, you know, he kissed me, so he must be right. We got to be better thinkers than that, brethren, in this world that we live in. We got to be better thinkers than that. We got to put on our thinking caps. And not be taken in by things like that. It happens in the church. Diotrephes and people in the church do that all the time. Okay, well, brother so-and-so, he's a pretty nice guy. Now, I know he's going against the elders, but, you know, hey, I kind of like the guy. Don't be taken in by that. And on this matter, verse 6, manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Would you and I have been one of those that got stolen because we're not critically thinking? You'll be safe and I'll be safe if you use your energy and your talents and your recognition for the good of others, not for your own selfish ends. This guy's playing politics for himself. He's not trying to help anybody out. I'll do you justice. Oh yeah, right. No, I'm trying to get you on my side, and when I get enough people in this conspiracy, then I can march on the king and take over. And it came to pass at the end of 4 years, 4 years is probably the better reading than 40, that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed in Hebron or Hebron. That's where he was born. He's going back home. But he's actually just gathering a conspiracy together. Brethren, let's use... God gives us energy and talents and recognition for the good of others, to serve others, not for our own selfish purposes. And we will be safe in life when we use the mind that God gives us and the other good things that God gives us for His glory and for His service, not our own selfish purposes. Philippians chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there. It's hard. It's very hard. It can be done. Philippians 2, verse 3, doing nothing, not most things, but nothing, doing nothing through faction division, or through vain glory, building yourself up, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself, not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. We'll be safe when we practice that passage. But when we don't, and it's all about us, there's going to be problems. So, he forms this conspiracy, and starting in chapter 15 and verse 13, it's a sad moment, but David has to run. He has to run from the town that he's living in and run from his own son. And so chapter 15, David is on the run. And then we come to chapter 16. And in chapter 16, Absalom has this man, Ahithophel. Look at chapter 16 and verse 15. You'll be safe if you surround yourself by men and women who will give you the right advice in life. Not tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear. One of the Proverbs says, walk with the wise and you will be wise. Choose your friends carefully. Choose who is going to be your advisor. Where are you going to get your help? Well, my phone, you know. No. I need to surround myself by men and women, young and old, who are godly and who follow God's word. They're going to help me get to heaven. People don't choose their friends carefully, and that brings them down. They don't choose their associations carefully. They listen to the wrong information. And so this Ahithophel fella was not good for Absalom. First of all, look at chapter 16 and verse 15. In verse 21, go unto thy father's concubines that he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred of thy father. Then will all the hands that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Wow, that's great advice. Go commit sexual immorality. And then later in chapter 17, he advises to go up and attack, and he said that he would attack his father and kill him and so forth. Hushai steps in and gives some other advice. And the text says that this was done in verse 14. Not only to overthrow the counsel of Ahithophel, but also verse 14 of chapter 17. For Jehovah had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that Jehovah might bring evil upon Absalom. We'll get to that in just a minute. We'll be safe, but we've got to choose our advisors carefully. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. We've got to listen to the right thing as we go through life. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, walk with the wise men and thou shalt be wise, but the companion of fools shall smart for it, hurt or be broken. Let's choose our companionships carefully. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. We often quote from 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse chapter 17 and verse 14, that Jehovah might bring evil upon Absalom. Brethren, you'll be safe and I'll be safe if we're living a life where the Lord is on our side. You don't want to be living a life where the Lord has determined evil against you. That you're in a bad situation. And Absalom had shown himself more than once to be an ungodly man. And God had turned his sights on him and said, I have evil planned for this person. Let's live and obey the gospel and live as faithfully as we can each day so that the Lord is on our side, not against us. That's why we need to be spending time in prayer. First of all, become a Christian. Be baptized into Christ. And spend time in prayer and in Bible study and gathering together with the church being here is important. And when we forsake the assembly, Hebrews 10, 34 and 35, we have violated the Word of God. We've got to be here. And show ourselves that we're on the Lord's side. Live faithfully for Him each day. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. We want to live in such a way that the Lord is on our side, but not that the Lord is against us. Let's be reminded of what the prophet said to Asa in 2 Chronicles, chapter 15 and verse 2. Jehovah is with you while you are with Him. It's conditioned. While you're with Him. Well, how are we with Him? Well, we obey the gospel. And we do these things that I talked about. And if you seek Him, if it's conditioned, if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. And it was clear that Absalom had forsaken the Lord. So the Lord had determined evil against him. You write that passage down, 2 Corinthians 15:2. It is a statement that will always come true. Let's live that the Lord is on our side each and every day, and we will be safe. But we start going down this road of, I want to do what I want, then there's going to be a problem. Turn with me to chapter 17 and verse 24. Respect your family and your loved ones. You'll be safe if you respect your family and your loved ones and not make war with them. Absalom sent his commander out with his army, and David divided his army up into three sections, and they ended up fighting. It's terrible. There's a generation who will not respect their father. They're self-righteous in their own eyes. They're proud. And they're violent. And I think of Absalom. In chapter 17, on into chapter 18, they go to war with each other. They go to battle with each other. What a shame. But you'll be safe if you respect your family and your loved ones, not make war with them. Respect your spiritual family and the local church, not make war with them. I can't imagine going to war with my own father. He didn't care about that. All he cared about was me. It's about me. And I'm good looking. And all Israel has come after me. And I've stolen the hearts of a lot of folks. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. I wish we had time this evening to look at a lot of Proverbs. There's so many Proverbs where there are Proverbs where both the father and the mother are actually mentioned in the same verse. There are many good Proverbs. Where we need to respect mom and dad, and we need to follow their teaching and their law and show them respect. In Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. It'll be safe with you young people when you respect your family and show honor and respect for your loved ones. Look at chapter 30 and verse 11 that we were reading earlier. There's a generation that cursed their father and blessed not their mother. Look at verse 17. The eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. We're to honor father and mother, Paul wrote in Ephesians 6. Obey them and honor them. But you get young people today, boy, they mouth off. And parents who allow that, shame on you. You are a part of that problem. Don't allow talking back. Don't allow disrespectful behavior. But we got so many people out there that they mouth off to their parents and dismiss their parents. Yeah, I'm going to walk through the room and not even acknowledge them. Are they even in the room? We're going to be safe when we learn that safety net that God gives us, I like how Joel Plunkett calls it. He calls that home and family a greenhouse. It's helping us to stay well as we go through life. I love that. The home and family is like a greenhouse. But when we just show disrespect for that, there's going to be a problem. Let's show respect for our family and our loved ones. Turn with me to chapter 18. You'll be safe if you make life about serving the Lord, not about you. You remember in chapter 18 when Joab kills Absalom and his servants also fall upon Absalom, that there's this little statement that is made in 2 Samuel 18:16, and Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people, and they took Absalom and cast him into the great pit in the forest and raised over him a very great heap of stones, and all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself, that's kind of a good summary of his whole life, it's about myself, he had reared up a monument for himself, the pillar which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance, and he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's monument unto this day. Here's my monument. It's got my name on it. He was clearly stuck on himself. He was not well before he died. He was not well. And you'll be safe when life is about serving the Lord, not about you and not about me. When Paul became a Christian, he said, it is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. It's about Christ. And look at Philippians 1:20. Paul said, I'm living in such a way that Christ is magnified in my body. Today, it's all about me. You know, my name and my prestige and my this and my that. Every once in a while, you'll see some folks give glory to God or give glory to Jesus. And I do appreciate when people will do that. Sometimes athletes and others will do that. But so much of this life is about me. The narcissistic, it's all about me. And this guy had built a monument and slapped his name on it. Absalom's monument. Brethren, we can do better than that. And we will be safe. But we've got to make life about serving the Lord and not about ourselves. Well, the lesson is yours. I appreciate your time this evening. When Absalom dies, is the young man safe? The answer is no. He wasn't. He was dead. But he was not safe long before. And we can have a proper well-being in life for ourselves and for our young people and those around us. We can have a proper well-being if we will understand these principles that we've looked at this evening. It begins by becoming a child of God. If we can help you to do that, there's a great day coming. If you're not ready for that day, let us help you to prepare for that. You are not safe. If we are outside of Christ, we are not safe. All I want is my kids to be safe. So if we can help you to be in Christ, let us help you to do that. If we can help someone come back to the Lord, let us help you to do that. Our brethren this morning that we've talked about, we want them to come back if possible. If we can do something to encourage them to come back, let's do that. We want them to be safe as well. Let's practice the principles where we have godly character in our lives. Ignore the worldly standards of well-being and just simply be a follower of Christ. And if we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?